one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
what do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we got FIFO247.
What it do?
Fitz is Mike. Who Mike? Who might need to be fixed?
He says the Zoom audio is echoing. Someone said that.
Give it a minute. It should not be echoing. Sometimes Zoom has takes a minute to catch up. But we'll see. Light humming. Well, let me get through the intro and I'll check on it.
Oh, it said our audio is echoing, me and Nick.
Yeah, so sometimes Zoom has this feature where it's supposed to take out the echoes, and sometimes it takes a minute, and somebody was saying there's a buzzing, but I'll check that in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scully Bandit is here, Shelton J.
What's good, man? How y'all doing?
Nicky Doucet.
What's going on, a.k.a. Mr. LinkedIn? What's good?
You talking about that LinkedIn photo you got?
Yeah.
Yo, that shit is hilarious, dude.
And that's BZ430, all here in the studio. Look at that.
In person, live in effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway,
we shake some shit up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so we thank you guys for tuning in, man, every week. You know, as usual, man, we appreciate it. Somebody said Shelton sounds good to him. But yeah, so we're going to go ahead and jump into the show. But you guys, please like the video, subscribe to the show. And yeah, we're going to get this thing going. So yeah, everybody says everything's good now. Thank you guys. See, I told y'all, man, just give us some time. Things will work themselves out.
All right. Starting off before we got a lot of NBA stuff to get to. But there was a huge, huge breaking news this week. So far earlier in this week, Dak Prescott signs a contract extension with the Dallas Cowboys. Finally got the contract done after all these months and going on years, it seems like, with them in talks. I'll give the breakdown because this breakdown is a phenomenal deal just by the breakdown. The extension is worth up to $160 million with incentives, but it's a four-year, $160 million contract with a no-trade clause and no tag provision. Dak Prescott deal averages around $42 million a year over the first 3 years, with $75 million in the first year guaranteed and $66 million at the signing bonus. So he sets the NFL record for signing bonus and fully guaranteed money.
The top four salaries in the QB are all black quarterbacks?
Yep. Think so,
You got Mahomes, you got Watson, you got Dak, and Russ, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if Russ is that highly
paid. He is.
In comparison to other quarterbacks?
Yeah.
He was like 36.
That's still in the top four.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know who's going to make the top five then? Lamar is going to be the next one.
Because when he's up for a sign.
This upcoming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this season.
He about to get paid off.
He about to get paid. Yeah, he going to be a $200-plus million quarterback.
Yeah. Especially if he have a good season, monster season.
Yeah.
But who do y'all think won this trade?
Trade?
I mean, sorry.
Contract.
They both won.
Yeah.
Both sides actually
never
won.
Never pick a side, does he?
He don't.
Like
Scully pick a Scott.
let me tell you why I say both won. Both because Dak got what he was after, and Dallas got what they were after. They were after initially they wanted a 5-year deal. They got him for last year, you know, up until he got hurt, and then they got the four this year. They get salary cap relief, so I think they saved about $14 million in cap space. That's why he got such a big signing bonus. You take care of the man and, you know, it's the number one franchise in sports. So why not pay this man what he's worth? If he's going to be the face of the star, he needs to get paid accordingly. So they got what they wanted. They got the franchise QB under contract. He got the guaranteed money. And everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. I'm happy that Dak finally got paid. I'm surprised that Dallas put all this extra stuff that favors Dak in this. Especially with the signing bonus and the guaranteed money up front. But it seems like what I'm more surprised is that why did this deal get done sooner than later? Because for what is on paper, for what he signed for, it's heavily what Dak already asked for. He didn't want a 5-year deal or a 6-year deal. He wanted something short and sweet to where he could be another free agent so he can get another bite at the apple. And he wanted to get more bread than he's been since he's been on a discount for this whole time. I don't see how all this was so elongated, but I think Dak is the winner. I think Dallas now has super high expectations, even higher than they were last year.
Correct. And see, not to cut all y'all off, but the reason why they waited so long, I believe, was they were trying to wait him out. They were trying to kind of play hardball a little bit. They waited up until the deadline. The deadline was today, or they would have had the franchise tag him today, which would have cost them even more money. And they would have lost him next year. So you knew you were going to get a deal done. It was just a matter of who's going to wait the longest. And they were just waiting him out, I think, or they were trying to see if an opportunity came up where they could make a move and just waited until the point where they couldn't wait anymore, where they had to get a deal done. And once again, they get the cap relief so they can go out and still sign some more free agents. That's why you front load it that way. You pay them so much so you can have cap relief to do other things and you won't be stuck later on, like some of these people are, like how Pittsburgh was with Ben Roethlisberger this year with this balloon payment that was due. You didn't want that issue. So you give him all the money up front, get your cap relief, and you can do what you need to do, and you still got your franchise QB. So it works out for everybody. If it had worked out the way he folded in the pressure and signed for what they wanted him to, they'd have won in too. And they knew who they were dealing with as well. So you're not dealing with a hothead that's going to come into camp with attitude and be acting all up and doing all. They didn't deal with all that. They knew they had somebody that wanted to be there. They wanted him there, but they wanted him there as cheap a price as they can get. So they held out. They played ball. It was business, and it worked out for both sides.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know why they tried to wait him out, because I don't think that was going to work. I mean, we've been waiting 400-something years to get free from slavery, man. So you're not going to outweigh the black man when it comes to some money. Now I'm going to tell you. but good for Dak. I think the Cowboys really, really had no choice, in all honesty. So they had to pay that man. So I think it was a shrewd move by Dak to force their hand. But I think the market was extremely weak from quarterbacks. Shelton, I know you follow this stuff a lot more heavily than I do. So you can confirm or deny that. But so what do? You got a guy who's gotten you to the playoffs, won your playoff game. So he has some success with the organization. A lot of failures could be looked at as coaching injuries. Dak elevated the team to a certain point. But, you know, he's not what do they call a force multiplier to the point where he can just take them all the way over the top. He does need some support, but nevertheless, I'm happy that it got done so we can stop talking about this shit and we can move on to what Dak does. Play 500 football.
I knew you was about to get
it. All right, Ken.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ken has a major point. You need Dak because Dak makes you relevant, but Dak isn't elite. Which is why, even though Dallas has a really good roster, they're not the favorites because now they have Dak. I'll put it to you like this. The San Francisco 49ers with a question mark at QB is more of a favorite than the damn Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott.
Mm.
Ooh.
I mean, that's not saying much because they got a better roster overall than Dallas.
But that's my point, because teams like the Seahawks, right, even though they fizzled out, but they started super hot, you believe in what they can do because of Russell Wilson. Other great quarterbacks, you believe in their team because of the great quarterback. Dak Prescott is a 500 quarterback. Ken is 100% right.
He ain't 500. He's been to the playoffs twice.
Yes, he
what,
is.
What he means is that he's the median, bro.
Yeah. He's above average.
Slightly. But that's because the roster is above average.
I disagree. I think the roster is – the offense is. The defense is where they suffer. But they aren't that far away. I don't think that Dallas is as far away as people think they are. They're mid-team, mid-level. But most of it's blamed on the defense. You know what I'm saying? They get behind really easy, and they make some average teams look above average. So in saying that, you know, you draft well, you get a couple of players in there on that defensive line and start that way, and you'll start seeing an uptick and a change. You know what I'm saying? Then plus a couple of those offensive linemen will be healthy this year. So they should be able to do a little bit more. I think Zeke is on the way out. I think that, you know, you put Tony Pollard and let him run the ball a little bit more going forward. You just got to – I don't think they're that far off. We know they're not that far from winning their division.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that, Shelton. The offense is definitely ahead of the defense. The defense isn't far off. You get a playmaker or two on that defense, they're formidable. But, again, it all lends to the point – you know, we'd be hyperbolic a little bit for entertainment purposes, but at the end of the day, Dak isn't the difference. Dak is necessary to be competitive, 100%. We saw that. However, Dak isn't the difference of why you would be a championship contender or not. He's not the difference. Therefore, he's not elite.
I would say this. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just going to say, who would be on as currently constructed, who would be a difference maker on that team? Like, there's only a couple quarterbacks that we could probably say that about. Adding a Patrick Mahomes would make a difference. You add Deshaun Watson to this team, it may make a difference. I don't even think Russ would make a difference with this squad. Not like that.
No, Russell would make a difference with this squad. And here's the thing. I'll go even young QBs. Justin Herbert will make a difference on this squad. Bigger arm than Dak. More mobile than Dak.
All right, now you're being disrespectful.
Yeah, I love Justin Herbert, but he didn't make a difference on the squad he was on, and they were just
He loved Justin Herbert up until he started losing.
No, I still love Justin Herbert. You know,
then Shelton didn't even talk about him anymore.
No, I talk about him all the time. That's one of my favorite QBs. That's still one of my guys. It's just that that team was loaded. Remember, I wasn't disappointed in him at all. He was awesome. But what I'm saying is he was on a great team that and he couldn't put them over the hump because of coaching and just, you know, ill play. But it wasn't the quarterback's fault. It was the people around. Same thing with Dak. That wasn't Dak's fault.
I would take Josh Allen over Dak.
No, sir. I wouldn't. I would not.
I still feel like there's a lot of the QBs you mentioned in FIFA is like they still have question marks about their gameplay as well. And there's also questions about how much better are they outside of the system? Because we saw Josh Allen with bad coaching or what it perceived to be bad coaching. And then now with the new coach or the newer coach, what's his name? Sean McDermott or whatever. His gameplay has evolved tremendously. So again, like to Ken's point, like we don't know. To me, I think Dak is above average QB. I'm not saying he's like top six, but I think he's top 10. I've always said he's top 10.
All I know is this. The way that y'all have responded to what I have said has proven my point. Dak is not the difference maker.
Mm. Right, right. In saying that, like I said, I agree with that.
So now how will Russ be a difference maker?
Right. What would he do differently?
Russ, he don't be a difference maker for the Seahawks.
Russ is smarter. First of all, the Cowboys have more talent than Seattle does. That's number one overall on that roster. They have more talent, especially on the offensive side. Number two, Russ is smarter and takes less risks than Dak. And we know this about Russ. If the game is tight, he will march you down the field and put you in position to win. Now, are you going to win 100% of the time? No, he's not necessarily. He's not Tom Brady in that regard, but he is one of the more elite quarterbacks. He throws the ball better than Dak. He makes throws Dak can't make.
Man, Ticolo said that Dak said that his black side are criminals.
Huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's what he said. I'll read you the exact quote. Put it in the group chat, put in here. He said, and then you go to the other side and people have been in jail. Dang, Dak. That's messed up, bro.
What?
I don't know what the hell he was talking about. But for me, my going moving forward is now that Dak has gotten paid, now we'll see what he FIFO to your point. We'll see, like, is he top eight? Is he better than what we're perceiving him to be right now as far as a middle of the pack mediocre QB? We'll find out now. You know how I am when it comes to a QB getting paid. That's when I'm more scrutinized than anything. So now all that nice talk about Dak, that's out the window, is now about to be, what have you done for me lately?
So now Nick is going to be with us. Come on, brother.
You know how it is.
He was fighting for Dak for a long time, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. Yeah. They said Dak was top three.
Top five at one point.
He was top five at one point.
Now he's going to see the real Dak. Real Dak he didn't want to see.
Yep.
The one that we've been telling him about.
Yep.
We'll see.
Here's the thing. So I think Dak is fairly compensated for what he has done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I think it's a situation that's mutually beneficial. Like, Dallas looked horrible without Dak. Dak is going to make them a division winner, and they're probably going to be a first-round exit. That's what they are.
I think this deal may be one of the best NFL deals, period. No
for
trade
Dak
clause,
or for the Cowboys?
For QB.
Why? Because, why do you say that?
Because
hold on. Whoa. So how do you say
I'm talking
that?
About money.
Wait. Hold on. How do you say that the Mahomes contract was very questionable and you didn't like that, but you like this?
Because Mahomes signed a 10-year deal, and even now, Mahomes is probably going to be the fifth highest paid QB in the league. He's still going to get over the next 2-3 years because he's still getting paid, I believe.
Let me ask you something, Nick.
Okay.
The most winningest QB of all time, was he ever the highest paid QB in the league?
You talking about Tom Brady?
Mm-hmm. Was he ever the highest paid QB in the league?
Probably a couple seasons, but not his whole tenure.
Nope. Has never been. Peyton Manning has. I know Phillip Rivers was up there. Eli was up there. Tom Brady hasn't been up there. Maybe top five, maybe top seven, but he's never been number one or number two in the league. And that says a lot because a quarterback can eat up to 40% of your cap. And we already know this is 11 on 11. Every million that a quarterback can save you gets you the talent you need on the outside, which is why I was trying to explain to you at the time that the Mahomes contract is amazing for both Pat Mahomes, because this motherfucker signed $250 million. And we already know he's going to make more off the field. But in addition to that, it leaves the Kansas City Chiefs and that brain trust to continue to tweak and maintain the core. Tyreek ain't going nowhere. Travis Kelce ain't going nowhere. Them Pro Bowl tackles, they not going nowhere.
And again, you're talking from an organizational, holistic, I guess, unison with the QB. I'm just talking about from the player's standpoint. That's strictly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about because even then, Kansas City drafted most of their guys anyway. So they're just re-signing what they've already. They clearly have shown that they can draft players. All their superstars on their team are drafted.
So that whole offensive line by Dallas was not drafted?
No, it was, but they overpaid everybody. They overpaid everybody else without any real success as Kansas City. So to me, those contracts don't justify.
But what's the reason why Kansas City has success?
I mean, Andy Reid. Okay, you were the one that did you not tell me that Alex Smith? What they won like 10 to 12 games with Alex Smith, and with Patty they won like 13 to 15. So like, it's an improvement, but it ain't that, like, they were still successful.
Patty got you a Super Bowl, dog.
I got you. He's the one that took you over the top. But as far as team success is what you were talking about. The reason why he needed to take a pay cut.
If I put Dak Prescott with the Kansas City Chiefs, they lose in the first round with all that talent.
No, they don't.
Not with Andy Reid, bro. Come on.
Yeah, they do.
He took Donovan McNabb to a Super Bowl.
And Donovan is light years ahead of whatever Dak Prescott would ever become.
Better than Dak.
I think if Dak was with Andy Reid, you'll see the same result. Hell he's going no. at least this, he's getting at least to an AFC title game.
Nah, it ain't happening.
He almost outdo Aaron Rodgers his first year in the league. What are you talking about?
That's cute. That ain't gonna happen.
All right. All right, let's move on to the NBA because they pissed me off with this NFL talk.
hey, Nick.
What's up?
Hey, Nick, did you want to use that photo I sent last week? I know we said we didn't want to use it because we had Nick Anderson on. The one about picking your star lineup without using specific players? Or you want to do it for next week?
Let's do it next week because I didn't prepare for that this week.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Unless y'all got y'all list ready?
Mm-mm. No, I didn't even know. Yeah.
What was it we got to do?
I posted again. I posted again.
Okay.
But basically, it was like pick your top five, your starting five lineup without like basically the best Hall of Famers that everybody else picks.
Oh. Okay.
I just put it in the chat. I put it in the group chat. Lily just.
Okay. Now. Cool.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. But B, I mean, shit, it was All Star Weekend this past weekend. Was you out and about?
Hell no, I wasn't. Hell no, I was out. I was at the crib every day, watching the Nigga Reunion Coming to America 2. That's what I was watching. You know what? I don't give a fuck what nobody say. I enjoy Coming to America 2 for what it was.
You did?
Yeah.
Thank you, B. Because I didn't.
It was a Nigga Reunion.
But everybody else, that one too.
If you was going into the... Okay, never mind. But that's what I did.
No, go ahead and say it. Because I got the review coming out this week. Maybe they're going to get a little behind, an exclusive.
Okay, what were you going to say? No, if you going into this movie... for one, it's a PG-13. The first one was rated R. So you know it's not going to be as raunchy as the first one. If you going in this thing thinking you're going to get 1980s Eddie Murphy and all that stuff, no. It was a Nigga Reunion. It lived up to what I expected for this movie to live. I wanted some laughs, which is what I got. I wanted nostalgia, which is what I got. And the fact that Eddie Murphy was pretty much like, hey, y'all, they paying us $80 million to make the same damn movie. Come on, let's eat. So I fucks with it, man. It was a reunion. I got good laughs from it, especially when I saw my nigga Randy Watson. I was like, oh, they brought my nigga Randy Watson back, baby. And you cannot tell me that them barbershop scenes was just as fun as the original barbershop scene.
AB, that was like going back to homecoming and seeing the captain of the cheerleading squad. She's not the same. And I wasn't.
but you know that going back, Shelton.
I didn't know that going back.
That's your fault.
Exactly.
I thought she was still fine, but she's not.
No, man, because we see it the other way around when we go back. We see girls that we didn't think that was that hot. And they look bad as hell. So, I mean, you expect that, no. You cannot expect the same exact movie. This is 30 years later. All I expected was a Nigga Reunion. And that's what I got. Yep. A big-ass Nigga Family Reunion.
So, in other words, it's better to watch it on mute.
No.
Oh, my God. No, Shelton. No. Watch the damn movie.
Watch the movie.
Hey, we do have Snowfall coming. We're recording we're trying to record that Sunday. It'll be a recap of the first four episodes. Please go subscribe to the Frames Per Second podcast, wherever you get your podcast. What you got, Nick?
I was asking about All-Star Weekend because I wanted to get y'all thoughts because it was a condensed All-Star Weekend. It was all just Sunday.
The only thing I caught on the All-Star really was Steph Curry's three-point. I caught the three-point contest.
That was awesome.
That's what I literally watched was a three-point contest. Cause after that, then I started watching Coming to America. So I didn't even. then I caught like the last maybe 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, and Dame and Steph was just nutty out there. I didn't watch the whole thing. I didn't watch the skills. I didn't watch the dunk contest. I watched that 3-point contest though. I definitely watched that, and Steph was amazing.
I didn't watch anything.
I didn't watch the 3-point contest or the skills contest. I actually had to take a nap. Long story. I had a lot of personal stuff happen over the week. But I caught the game at the end of the third going into the fourth. And my takeaway was if LeBron had either Steph or Dame on his squad, automatic championship, and having Dame and Steph on the same squad – it's just too unfair. You're talking about both of these guys, right when they hit half court, they can launch, right, and it's a good shot. And even, I don't know if y'all caught the Mark Jackson interview that Monday after the fact. Mm. What's that show with Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Will in the morning on ESPN? I don't know the name of that show, but he was being interviewed by them, and Mark Jackson said, get up.
Yeah.
No, it's not get up. They got another show. They got their own show.
Yeah, it's a worse version of Get Up, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, either way, Mark Jackson was talking about the reason why both of these guys are changing the game, because he said, as a coach, I would have never thought that a guy taking a half-court shot is a good shot. and, yo, like, me being a coach as well, like, if a kid did that, I look at him and put him on the bench. But if they do that, you'd be like, well, shit, if you miss, you make a next shot.
Yeah, I did see that. Right. I don't know. I think one of y'all may have posted in the chat. Mm. But yeah, I saw the half court shots. I mean, all net. Crazy.
That was the game itself was Steph versus Dame and who could shoot the most and the furthest shots. As far as the All-Star game, the dunk contest was really good. I was surprised by that. I kind of liked it. Shout out to Anthony.
It was really good?
The dunk contest was cheap.
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it, Shelton, but based off everybody I know that saw it, said that shit was whack. So it's amazing.
I like the dunks that Anthony Simons, I think his name, the guy from Portland. I liked his dunks. I liked his particular dunks.
I need to watch the kiss to rim dunk.
He had some original stuff.
And Cassius Stanley was crazy too, Shelton.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, you gotta watch Cassius's dunk in slow motion because he went under the leg he jumped off of. Mm. So he jumped off the left, the ball still in the air. You see like him like fix his legs and then do it. It is very underrated because when I saw it in real time, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, it was nice.
Right.
But I saw it in slow motion. I said, oh, that's difficult and that's different.
Mm-hmm. They did some unique stuff. I mean, Obi Toppin was mid, but everybody else to me, I like that. No, in the dunk contest, not in regular life. I like him on the court, but in the dunk contest, he really wasn't that impressive. But I like watching the guy from Portland dunk, whatever his name. But the 3-point contest stole the show, of course, with Dame. But everything else was kind of average. It wasn't like a year ago, the All-Star game was great. Let me ask y'all this, though. One of my boys, he sent me a thing that said this All-Star team with LeBron's, his All-Star squad versus the Dream Team, who would win that and why?
Dream Team had more prominent Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
you talk about Magic, Bird, MJ, Scottie.
But the only thing, though,
they don't have the shooting.
No. I mean,
they got the defense.
Bird and Magic was not enough.
They weren't the guys.
Bird barely played.
Yeah.
Who's Chris Mullin checking?
Yeah, imagine running after Steph. Who gonna
miss Chris Mullin on the bench?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, Chris Mullin to get buckets, but
yeah. But that's always been Chris Mullin's game.
Right.
He ain't never gonna shut nobody down. But looking
at this LeBron squad this year, who Chris Mullin checking?
Whoever coming off that bench,
but FIFA, who gonna chase Steph around? John Stockton?
It would have to be between him and MJ or Scottie.
No, because Scottie gonna have to guard like LeBron or some. He gonna have to.
So I put MJ. Whoever make two shots in a row, that's who MJ guarding. Because look. That LeBron squad has tremendous shooting and from anywhere. Mm-hmm. So you got to put the best defenders on them. So, yes, John Stockton would
be
one of them.
The front court would be interesting. You got Malone, Barkley.
Power Patrick versus Ewing, speed.
And then against Joker, Giannis, you know what I'm saying, LeBron. So, yeah, that would be interesting.
And like I said, I didn't think about it until I was – of course, I would have picked the Dream Team in my mind. But then I thought about it, like chasing Dame and Steph around. That'll wear MJ out. Like,
that version of Magic is not chasing. It's not chasing Dame and Steph around. Right. That version of Magic is not. He's not. Mm. He's clearly not.
Yeah, even Jordan at that point. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
this was the best Jordan we've seen in 1992.
Yep,
92 was Jordan at his apex best. He had the best jump shot. He was still athletic as hell. Like, 92 Jordan was like, you couldn't touch him.
That was after his second ring, right?
Yeah, that's when he beat Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, that was okay. That following summer. Mm-hmm. That was the best Jordan that we seen. I think that was peak Jordan, like literally at the best.
But like I said, back then there was no players that imagine how much Steph. Think about Steph on offense. I don't know if y'all played him on 2K, but he runs around like constantly running around. Imagine trying to chase him and then come back and play.
Reggie Miller did that too. Mm-hmm. Reggie Miller ran around just like Rip Hamilton, just like Steph Curry. People forget that.
I think Steph's a little quicker than Reggie.
You said what?
I think Steph's a little quicker than Reggie, though.
I mean, with the ball, but when you're just running around lateral, Reggie Miller was a pain. Rip Hamilton was a pain. Like, Rip Hamilton ran cross country.
Ray Allen used to run around like that?
Yeah, Ray Allen used to do that. Like, yeah.
They were moving, but Steph Curry's not the first
player to run off screens.
I think he's just the first one to move as much as he moves, as fast as he moves. You need to watch
them old Indiana Pacers game, bro.
For real.
Reggie Miller used to literally be on the track. He used to be on the windmill, just running around all the damn time. Like, all the time.
In that release, I think people be forgetting.
These players ain't the first one to do this stuff, man. These guys, Reggie Miller, used to put folks on the treadmill.
I disagree with you there. I think Steph is the first one to do what he does.
No, he's not.
The way he does it.
He's not the first one to do it.
Yeah. Like I said, the way he does it.
Did you watch the Pistons in 04? You know how much Rip Hamilton used to run?
Rip ain't shooting from that distance, though, B.
But he used to run around. My point is, Steph is not the first to run around off screens like that. I get you on the shooting part. Right. But Rip Hamilton used to get on the treadmill all the time. What I'm saying is,
Steph does it. You have to guard Steph you have to pick him up at half court because he'll do it back there. He'll do it back there at the logo and he'll shoot from back there. Ain't none of those players.
Like I said, no. Shelton, I get the shooting part. I understand. I'm not arguing that. I'm just arguing the point that you're saying Steph is the first one to run off screens and run around. He's not the first player to do that.
I'm saying he's the first one to do it and shoot with range.
Reggie Miller shot from range. He was a three-point shooter.
Rip Hamilton was a jump shot shooter.
Reggie Miller was a three-point shooter.
Now, Reggie was a great three-point shooter, but not from range like that. Nobody shoots from half court like Steph. Nobody shoots from the logo. They shoot three-pointers, and it still counts the same. But what I'm saying is you got a larger guarding surface. You have to pick him up at half court. You can't let him hang out there.
There were only two players back then. Obviously, they didn't do it at the same rate that Dame and Steph does it now because it was a different game.
Right.
But Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, that nigga had unlimited range. Yeah. Unlimited range off the dribble, off the pick and roll, or off the ball. And then the other one just didn't shoot it as deep.
That's
all. Yeah, it just wasn't the game. Yeah. And then the other one was Dan Marley.
Yeah.
Dan Marley has stupid range. Yeah. They didn't shoot 10 threes a game back then. Right. Two threes was a lot.
It was a different game.
It was a different game. Now there was guys that could do it. I put it to you like this. I think Mark Price could have done it. That man was pure. That wasn't the game. I think there's other guys in older eras, not saying that they would do it as good as Dame and Steph. I think they're the best to ever do it. And I don't think nobody, well, at least not in the next 10 years, I don't think we're going to see nobody eclipse that. With that being said, there are guys of yesteryear that would have been competent enough to successfully have that as part of their game, but it wasn't part of the game back then. So therefore, it's just a lot of what if.
Correct. And that's really the biggest thing. Like I said, what Dame and Steph added was just a deeper shot. They're shooting, you having to guard a larger surface no matter what. I mean, that movement takes place as soon as you cross half court. You can't wait until they get to the three-point line to start guarding them. You're not guarding from the three-point line in. You guarding them from half court in. That's a bigger surface, a larger field you got to cover. And this man is running from one side of the court to the other, and he's chasing you. Imagine chasing this man all day. It's just different. Nobody else has had to do it back then. They didn't have to do it. So I said it'd be really interesting to see not only how it would affect them on defense, but how it would affect them on offense. Because you ain't no way you're going to guard that man without being tired. There's just no way.
Yeah. I mean, as far as All-Star Weekend is concerned, it was, like most of us said, the three-point shooting contest was the best part. Last year's All-Star game itself was better, I think mostly because of the Kobe stuff. But this year, I think they went back to being somewhat lackadaisical outside of a couple of players. I do think they need to play. They need to get rid of the dunk contest, though.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, when you look at those highlights,
Zach LaVine was the last great dunk contest we had. Like,
which
like
one?
That was the last one where I was at the edge of my seat every dunk.
Which one?
Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon.
Oh yeah, yes sir.
That was the last one that was like reminiscent of dunk contests of old.
Yeah.
Like when you at the edge, were you literally at the edge of your seat? Like, what the hell are they getting ready to do? Like, that shit was crazy. But from what I'm hearing, I heard this dunk contest was trash.
It was just garbage.
I didn't think so. Like I said, I just didn't really think so. Maybe because I was looking for something to be good. I just finished watching Coming to America. I really just needed like a pick me up. So maybe that's what happened. But it wasn't that bad to me. It really was. Like I said, those couple dunks where he grabbed the ball, he put the ball up there on the like about 12 feet up, and he went out and got it and dunked it. That was a nice dunk. He did another. What else did he do? I know he did the dunk where he kissed the rim. A couple of those was kind of cool dunks to me. But they're running out of stuff. Like you said, it's just something. There's really nothing new under the sun that they can do that's any good.
This is my thing, and I told people this. I've been arguing this for the last decade. Get those street dudes to come in and do, man, they still do dunks.
Yeah, I agree.
That I've never seen before. If you take some street ball dudes and say, hey, look, $100,000 for whoever win the dunk contest. You think them dudes ain't gonna pull out the best dunks that we have never seen?
They ain't gonna do that though, B. You know why? Because fans be getting their hair for those guys and making
it all in there.
Right.
We doing all kinds of shit.
Man, we'll see some shit we ain't never seen before, man.
Yeah. And that would be dope, but they ain't gonna do it. They wouldn't take away from they want it to be about their stars and their guys in the league. So that's why they wouldn't, but honestly, that's what they really should do. Because I've seen some dunks on YouTube that's out of this world.
Dude, man, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, why no NBA players looking at this and trying to like create that? Like, if I'm an NBA player and I'm about to be in dunking, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm using YouTube for some ideas and I'm gonna try that shit.
And Byron Wire said FIFO can do all those dunks.
I'm telling you, that's it.
In 2K, goddamn it,
man, those dunks was basic. But shout out to Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Obi Toppin for what you mean for what for representing New York? Yeah, we got a
James Randle was there, man. He represented New York.
That's about he all was. He did.
He scored 4 points,
I think. It's an All-Star
first
game.
Dunk was about bad, that though. I saw that one. You're right. Yeah, that was.
While you at it, you know, you got a couple seconds. Look up some some Julius Randle highlights.
All right. I'm done. Somebody need to cut your mic off. Speaking of All-Stars, though, since the All-Star weekend or All-Star day was somewhat lackluster out of a few highlights, we have another basically All-Star lineup in the regular season of the NBA now that Blake Griffin, who got bought out by the Detroit Pistons, B's favorite team, just re-signed or it just signed. I think it's veterans minimum. I know he basically only had to sign like a $2 million or less deal with the Brooklyn Nets. So now that Blake Griffin, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant are on the same team, is it a lock that the Lakers and Nets will meet in the finals?
Nah, the Lakers not gonna make it.
What Blake Griffin being a difference?
I mean, it's more of a secure lock. You have four All-Stars.
I bet you Blake knees and got a revival now that he went through Nets. I'm pretty sure we're going to see it. We're going to probably see a nice, motivated Blake Griffin. Now he's on a championship contender.
His first 2 points is going to be a dunk.
He's been the last couple of years with the Pistons. He ain't been playing.
We got a
I know.
Really?
Yeah, it's been 2 years since he dunked the ball. Yeah.
Hey, we got.
I bet you he dunking against the Nets.
Yeah.
I bet you hard to toss him up one. He gonna yam that bad boy.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Them knees. Hey, we got a super chat real quick. Let me go ahead and get them in when they come in real quick. Chill Vibes 24. Appreciate you, Chill Vibes. With them being missing the All-Star game because of contact tracing and the NBA pulling Durant during a game Are you guys worried about what can happen during the playoffs?
Absolutely not, because all them dudes going to get vaccinated.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
They're going to get that shot, and they probably get that one-hitter quitter.
I'm curious. I wonder, they probably won't, but I'm curious if they're going to bubble the playoffs. They probably won't, maybe, because they went this whole regular season without
it. Yeah, no, because most of the NBA players have caught the shit.
Yeah. So, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody's sitting out, it's going to be the 12th man. You know, somebody that doesn't matter.
Now, I'm with you, B. I don't know why LeBron talking about he's going to keep whether or not he got vaccinated private. That makes absolute. I mean,
when I asked that,
it's obviously his own personal private reason. I just don't understand the logic behind it. Like,
don't either.
Yeah, is there some other reason?
Yeah.
You know,
so I don't know. Y'all hear us?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
They saying in the chat that they can't hear. The Zoom audio went off.
Zoom audio went off.
I don't know.
My mic is off.
I see the feedback when you're talking. Well, that's me talking.
Yeah.
Say something, Shelton.
Zoom audio is out. Everybody's saying the sound is off. Say something, Nick.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Mic check.
Yeah, it's gone.
Okay. Y'all interrupting me. I haven't changed it. Let me
see. Yeah, you didn't do nothing. You literally didn't do anything.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nick did when I was talking about.
What about Nick? Can you guys hear Nick?
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Nick said something. Y'all hear Nick? You can hear Shelton drumming.
Mic check.
Mic check, mic check. Can everyone hear me?
Can you hear Nick or Shelton? Can you say, can't hear Nick either? What the hell? Yeah.
All right.
They ain't talking about shit anyway.
I think with the Blake Griffin signing, we can honestly now say that everybody in the league has played for the Pistons.
You said everybody what?
Everybody has played and left the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody in the league has been there for at least 2 minutes this year.
I feel like the best thing players get when they go to Detroit is like some.
That's why I wasn't happy when he came there. I was just like, "Ooh, y'all got Blake Griffin, okay?" And like, I didn't, you know, they didn't do anything.
I think they only there just to invest in it, buying rental property, and then leaving. That's the only thing I see them doing in Detroit of substance.
Mm-hmm. He said Adam Silver cut Nick's mic though.
Let's just say we got the three we need, though. It's okay.
Yeah.
They've been knowing I'll be spending truth on this podcast every week.
They got appreciate tired of
Nation.
The
hey, Nation, appreciate you, bro. Appreciate that. He said joking though.
They got tired of the Randall talk.
They got tired today. Well, they got time today. Y'all say something?
Y'all hear us?
Can y'all hear us now?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Feedback. Yeah, I see the feedback. I see the feedback. Yeah. I see Nick and Shelton's feedback. So I wonder if they can hear them.
I hope they can hear us.
Yeah, say something again.
Mic check. Can y'all hear me now?
Can y'all hear me?
Can y'all hear?
I'm trying to see what the chat's saying. Okay, I see thumbs up. Yeah, they say yes. They say yes.
All right, good. All right.
Yep. Hey, did y'all see Ken standing there look like Teddy Riley in that beat battle?
Oh, yeah, we got it.
Man.
All right, so anyway. But yeah, I didn't know he hadn't dunked in
2 years.
2 years, that's crazy. But, I mean, obviously he's ring chasing, which is fine. That's cool. Do what you do, brother. But yeah, in terms of your question, Shelton, Nick, let me see, in the West, who would the Lakers have to face? Because the Clippers seem to be coming back to the middle of the pack. They've struggled lately.
The Clippers? Yeah.
The Clippers they've been really inconsistent this whole season. I mean, that's their story for the most part, their franchise, but, this season, it hasn't really looked as well as it did last season.
They need a point guard.
Yeah, yeah, they look bad. Yeah. Or I won't say they look bad, but they've lost a couple of the last games.
Yeah, they need to look
very
because when you watch some of their games late down the stretch, when you need a point guard to have that poise and kind of put that calm and get guys in positions, get Kawhi the shot, get PG the shot, or get their own shot, they don't have that.
Yeah.
Because Lou is looking to score.
Yeah.
Pat Bev is looking to lock somebody up. So those are your two primary ball handlers in those situations outside of PG and Kawhi, but you don't want them to set up the offense. You want them to finish the play. Right. So I think that's the one thing that they got missing. So I know we'll talk about the buyout market. Maybe there's a good point guard that got bought out that maybe that can help them out.
Yeah. So, so it seems inevitable, man. Nets Lakers for the title. I don't think Blake Griffin sends the Nets over the top, though.
But I think it gives them versatility that they didn't have before, because now they have their small ball five. Because now you can play KD at the four, Joe Harris at the three, you know, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And now you have a guy down the stretch that's going to make free throws, that can make open shots, and also has IQ with the ball in his hand. Mm-hmm. So if the ball does get swung to him, he's not looking just to give it up like it's a hot potato. He can do something with it, whether that means finishing or playmaking for somebody else.
Is Jeff Green with the Nets too?
He's still there,
small ball lineup.
Exactly. Well, to me, in my opinion, Blake Griffin is a better small ball five than Jeff Green. Obviously, Jeff Green is an option, whether either to play him at the five or the four. Yeah, exactly. You can play them together.
You play them together, put KD at three.
So it gives you versatility, which is why I like the Blake Griffin move. I'm not saying it takes him over the top, but it gives them the versatility needed to put other teams at disadvantages in the playoffs, to give them different looks.
I would have to see how Blake looks on this team. And I say that meaning this new Blake. I haven't seen enough of him this year to say he's a difference maker at this stage.
Seen enough of him in the career. Last 2 years, Shelton.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And also in the West, are you that confident, Ken, that the Lakers are going to clear that easy?
Yes. Who you got beating them?
I you know what's funny? To be honest with y'all,
I still
think Denver has a chance to make some noise. I think that Denver, if they're the type of team that if they get hot and they get on the roll at the right time, it's going to be hard to stop that train. I don't think we've heard the last of Denver.
Give a shout out, even though it's still in the middle of the season. But at the middle of the season right now, let's give a shout out to CP3 and the Phoenix Suns, man. Like
LaMelo,
that there are a two seed right now in the West today. Mm-hmm. They are a two seed in the Western Conference, dude. A team that was barely sniffing, you know, the playoffs the last few years, the last few seasons. You get CP3 now, and you are two seed. A freaking two seed in the West. Now, I'm not saying they're going to remain a two seed, but just right now at the halfway point of the NBA season, they are a two seed. That's impressive.
Shout out to Monty Williams. Monty Williams gets none of the credit that he deserves.
He doesn't either.
Great point,
Sheldon. He doesn't either.
Denver has absolutely no shot, Shelton. So yeah, that you. I thought you were going to say the Jazz.
I'm not sold on Utah. Even though I like Utah at this point, and I like what they do, that they lead the league in offensive and defensive efficiency, and I think that that's dope. I don't know. I just think when it matters most, when those lights come on, I think that, you know, last year taught them or something. I still think that
taught them how to lose their car. So what are they going to get, a game or two out of that?
That's all they need.
Obviously. No, that makes it. That puts you to seven games.
So what if AD's not fully like back?
He'll be fine.
You think he'll be fine?
Yeah, by the playoffs, he'll be fine. Okay. Now, rhythm is another something different. Mm-hmm. You know, getting into a rhythm and getting the team, you know, accustomed back to playing them. But yeah, for a second, you know, when I looked at the Jazz, I was like, dang, they might be on to something. But I thought they may have been that old Utah Jazz that don't look sexy or anything, but just know how to win games. Mm-hmm. But nah, they not. This is just fool's gold.
Yeah, yeah. I don't trust Mike Conley.
That's the only weakness that I would see with the Lakers. Like, obviously, with the health of AD, it's going to be key. But as far as the team knocking them off, you have to beat them where they're weak at, and it's point guard. So that's why only Phoenix, Utah, and Portland, to me, are the three that are, like, legit, because those have, like, at least an all-star, if not a superstar point guard. They have great surrounding pieces as well, but they have, I mean, Portland has huge holes on defense. Utah, it just seems like they're not ready. And Phoenix, we don't know what they're going to be, even though they have Chris Paul leading them. So I just got to default to the Lakers.
We'll be back after this quick break.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm missing the BYU and Gonzaga game. They playing right now.
Oh, okay.
Gonzaga's losing right now. Isn't
college
it?
Is at, hey, college. What, anybody, is, has there any been any good college games or anything like that?
Gonzaga's undefeated. They're the last undefeated team left, and they're losing right now.
Yep.
It seems nobody's talking about college. It just seems like it's
forgotten. Michigan is doing real well this year.
Juwan Howard, shout out to Juwan Howard.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a Spartan guy, but yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, got a root for the black coach, young black coach Juwan Howard, man. They doing good. Even though my Spartans just popped them the other day, but yeah, but Michigan looking good, man. They like number three. They might get a one seed. They might get a one seed at the time. Yeah,
they might. They've been balling really well. Yeah. I saw a little bit of that game they had against Ohio State where it came down to the wire. But
yeah,
I haven't been following. I'm waiting for March, man.
They only lost like two games. Like
I honestly, man, to be honest with you, though, I honestly thought that this was going to be Gonzaga's view just to run away with it all. That's what it was looking like. They haven't been vulnerable until tonight. This is the first time I've ever seen them. I mean, now they only losing by one. They were down by 10 at half.
That's what's weird about college. Just because they dominating don't mean they're gonna be the favorite.
That is true. This team is loaded though. I'm talking about from top to bottom. And
we've seen plenty of teams loaded and they lose in the tournament though.
Gonzaga
loaded.
Yeah, now that's true. Yeah, Gonzaga.
They play good fundamental basketball.
He said they ain't loaded.
They play good fundamental. They play good fundamental team basketball. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they play good fundamental team basketball.
They got some pros on that squad, though.
Really? Who?
Suggs.
And that's the joke.
Their point guard, they were talking about him being the top pick. Then they got a big man that's nice. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name. But this point guard is
vicious. He ain't heard one.
So, he said they got a good bench. They got a good water boy. I heard he all right.
Man, they right. Point guard number one. Watch him. His name is Suggs. You need to watch this kid. He's nice. Suggs is a top three pick.
Still ain't said his name. You said his name yet, Shelton?
Suggs.
You said he a thug?
Yeah.
And we don't have that kind of show, Shelton.
I'm about to say we ain't asked for his draft profile.
Suggs will probably go top 10. He'll definitely go
top five, top three.
You think he's the top three? I mean,
he's nice.
What?
Yeah. he's definitely gonna be a top 10 easily.
He said top three.
Top three. Yes.
He can't even give us three reasons.
Jalen Suggs.
He said he can't even give us three reasons.
No, Suggs.
You said you're gonna wait for the tournament when the tournament start.
Yeah, that's what I hate about last year. I mean, obviously it was the pandemic, but it was like we didn't find out.
Yeah, we didn't know. Yeah. We didn't know who was gonna be a championship. They had to stop everything.
Exactly.
They bubbling the tournament this year. Everything gonna be played.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Everything. Everything gonna be played in Indiana.
Yes.
So there is something I wanted to bring up. B had brought it to my attention earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. And again, another scenario where me and B were right and Nick was wrong than a motherfucker.
Here you go.
Remember B?
The link I sent you about the college, about Bates, Imani mm-hmm. Bates going.
Yep. So maybe more than a couple months. I don't know if it was last year. I don't remember when we was having this conversation. However, we were talking about the G League expanding to offer prominent high school basketball players an alternative to college, and the number one player, or if he's not the number one player, he's like a top three player of his class. Mm-hmm. Imani Bates.
Oh, he's number one in his class. Okay. Yeah, he's number one.
So the number one player in his class has decided to forego his scholarship at Michigan State to go play in the NBA. Nick, what the hell you got to say about that, bro?
What are you talking about? What was my where was I wrong?
Remember, we had a conversation on this telecast talking about top tier high school players are going to start to forego college and go straight to the NBA G League program that they now started to incentivize for these top tier high school players. And you said you didn't see it happening. And if it was going to happen, it was going to be years down the line. It was not going to be an instant thing. And me and B was like, why in the hell, if I'm a top tier guy, go to college? Why? When I can, even if it's not NBA money, I could go make 80 grand to go play about 30 or 40 games in a G League to prove the point that I'm balling on these scrubs. Mm-hmm. Wait till I go get play the against league. The real guys.
Yeah.
Right. College could only hurt at this point. And that's actually now and FIFO, now I agree with you from watching LaMelo and his success. It's kind of like Melo didn't ball out like that when he was overseas. You know, at best, he was mediocre, but it prepared him for the league he was really after. Whereas if you go to college and you struggle, that ain't going to translate well in the NBA.
Hey, Shelton. Oh.
No, go ahead.
I say real quick, to piggyback off what you're saying, this happened for another player, too. His career didn't really pan out as much. He started off hot, and he fizzled out real quick. But Brandon Jennings. Yeah, you know I was going there. Brandon Jennings did the same thing. He played overseas. He only averaged like 3 minutes a game, but he was saying that was like some of the best. That was the best experience for him to get. And then when he came to the league, his first like 3 years, Brandon Jennings was lighting.
He put up a 50 piece.
He was
a rookie.
He was
going to tour his ACL.
That was with the Pistons.
Yeah. When he got hurt, that killed it right there.
FIFO, I wasn't disagreeing with y'all on that at all. I don't know why you were saying that.
You
said it's gonna be later, right?
I said within the next 5 to 10 years, I was like, the NCAA is gonna have to really change up everything. They're gonna have to start paying pays because I brought up Darius Bazley with the whole LeBron James internship thing. I didn't say that it was smarter to go to college.
You kind of going against the grain when we was mentioning that. You was like, dang.
We have to run the tape back because I wasn't for college over G League. I was saying the G League is going to get more talent. You were the one that was saying that was the G League can't. I had to listen to the tape. So
it might have been me because I'm telling you, I would have been wrong on that too. Because if you had asked me, before this draft, when this draft stuff, and I'm going back to Melo for a minute because before this draft stuff started, I wasn't on the Melo ball train. There was no way you could have convinced me that him not going to college would have been better for him. You just couldn't have sold that to me. I mean, I felt like I was sold a bill of goods by Lonzo, and I knew they were different, but still, I just didn't think it would transfer. Nobody did, though. So now that he's done it and he was successful, that's when you're going to start seeing other people be able to do it and be successful with it, too. And I don't see a reason why you shouldn't go now early or go to the G League. There's no reason not to.
Woo Young said, Nick said all players was going to go to G League. And FIFO said only the elite can make that jump.
Mm.
I don't remember it that way.
I don't remember.
I remember the debate.
Y'all always be trying to say I'm wrong. I'll be with y'all. You feel me?
I don't remember the details, but I do remember that it was because it was a heated.
It was heated.
Heated debate, but I don't remember. Maybe he was saying that because he said that the NCAA have to pay. I have to listen to it again. I can't remember.
Yeah, I got to listen to it.
At the end of the day, I don't remember the point. Way back because it was a while ago. It wasn't even like 1 or 2 months. It was a minute ago, if not last year, like around the same time. But either way, the thing, and look, this is the reason why I love being on Dead in Sports. I've been saying for some years now, the talent that's about to come into the NBA is going to be at an all-time high. At an all-time high. And a lot of these kids really do not need college. They need... Look, this is the reason why I think college hinders a lot of basketball players. College is too packed. When you have elite athletes, you got to get them in rhythm, in motion, and moving. I need to be able to beat you and then get to the rim. I shouldn't have to be able to beat you, and then I got somebody waiting there right behind you for me. You know what I'm saying? So oftentimes, you don't allow NBA-level talent to truly work on their game because their game is suited for an open court. Where college is always convoluted.
Oh, wait. I think I'm starting to remember some of it because
it was you, Ken.
Well, I don't remember what I said, but because I don't remember what I said last week. But I think part of it was Nick was saying that, and again, none of us can really remember y'all, but that all players were going to go to the G League. And then I think part of it was that part of the retort to that was that only the elite players in college was going to be able
high school,
we'll be able to go to the G League.
Like the not Anthony Andersons. Everybody. Like the Anthony Andersons.
So Imani Bates would fit into that. 100%.
So I think that's what I
sort of remember.
Yeah, because Imani Bates right now, look, I've been watching Imani Bates real close for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. He don't need no college. Imani needs to go straight to the league.
And he still said that he's still committed to MSU. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if this is smoke and mirrors. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then I think it was also big. I forgot to say it on the takeaway of the All-Star game that HBCUs won. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With all of that money that they generated. Right.
Yeah, he said he was actually just watching it like a week ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He said, so that was the argument. Okay. All versus the elite.
The elite. So Nick was on the all train. I was on the elite train.
Yeah.
Okay. So because here's the thing. College is still viable and it's still a good place for a lot of players to hone in their skills because you have great coaches like MSU coach. What the hell is his name?
Tom Izzo.
Yeah. You got Mike Krzyzewski. You got big names.
Yeah, Jim Boeheim.
You got big names that you can learn a lot from. But there's just the cream of the top, like the top of the top, them guys don't need that. Imani Bates don't need to go to college.
So give me examples. So out of the top 100 in high school, top five maybe can just go to make that jump or top 10.
I would say
where would you go? Where would you stop?
I would say probably top 10.
Top 10 after that.
But here's the thing. I think it's more so like top five, top seven. Mm-hmm. But what's gonna happen is that the G League is gonna expand. It's like, oh shit, this is a whole new revenue stream. This is a whole way to market players before they even make it to the NBA. Like the NBA is gonna have to figure that shit out. So right now, I think it's gonna be limited until the Imani Bates comes in. And if Imani Bates comes into the G League and averages 25 a game, bro, do you know what type of marketing that is? Mm-hmm. That's gonna open it up down the road for more top 15, the top 20 guys to play in the G League because then the G League is gonna expand. But right now, no, I think it's the top five, top seven guys.
Okay.
But in the future, yeah, I definitely think these top guys are gonna forego college. There's no point.
You said you had something about KD that you wanted to bring up.
Oh,
yeah, you did.
I did say that. Hold on. Let me get to that point.
Well, while you're thinking about that, what did Meyer Leonard's have anybody heard? Did y'all talk about that
on
that
game?
He did like he said a racial slur about, I forgot what community. Let me look it up. But yes, the Miami Heat guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It slipped out, and I watched it, but I can't. But I know it slipped out.
And he looks like the privilege of the privilege, boy. That dude.
I can look it up.
I think it was against the Jewish community.
Oh, yeah. So you already know they don't play.
Right.
You can't say nothing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Anti-Semitic slur.
Yeah. But so the point I wanted to make about KD. I'm not going to deny KD's ability or KD's status in the game. Not going to do that. It'd be foolish. This guy is by far probably the easiest scorer that I've ever watched. With that being said, and him being regarded as the top or the second or a top three player pretty much his entire career, why does he need this much amount of talent around him to win, and he don't get the flack that LeBron has gotten? because that Golden State Warriors team was better than that Miami Heat team, was better than the Laker team, was better than the Cav team. This Brooklyn Nets team is better than any LeBron James team he's ever had. But we talk about KD. Hold on. We don't talk about KD in the same negative connotation that we do LeBron James. Why is that?
That's very simple, FIFO, because we don't talk about KD in the same positive connotation that we talk about LeBron. LeBron is noted most times as being one of the greatest players to ever play the game. KD is one of the most skilled players, but most people don't think he's the greatest in any capacity. But he is a great. So in saying that, him surrounding himself with better players is just what it is. He's great at what he does. LeBron is great at a lot of things. So in saying that, that's the difference in the two. So that's why you get more to whom much is given, much is expected. When you talk about LeBron, so you're going to expect more from a LeBron than you would for a KD.
When did that change for KD? Because he was kind of looked at that way as one of the...
I would say he was vilified. He got talked about a lot.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about when did that change? When did they stop looking at KD the way they looked at LeBron? Because KD was coming for LeBron's throne. Did we forget that?
I think it was the Golden State move. I think that's when they were like, okay, you were on a, like, if you'd have done something with OKC, like if OKC would have won that finals, the first ring that LeBron won, I think that we would have had it. We would be having a different conversation about KD. But since he lost to LeBron, and then he joined the Golden State Warriors, people obviously put that narrative: okay, if you can't beat them, then you got to join them or whatever.
After losing, after being up 3-1 against them,
exactly.
And when he was in Golden State, when he won those two rings, people were talking about like he was the best player in the world. Did we forget that too?
And analytics did, but not like y'all. Not none of y'all, like people like who watch the game and know the whole context of everything and how, again, y'all were critical of it, so y'all wouldn't praise him for that.
I think the general consensus in the NBA when he beat LeBron 2 times,
they were saying he was the best player.
They were saying he was the best player in the world.
And to be honest, this is like boxing, for example. There's times when you could be like the greatest fighter in the world, but that don't mean you're a GOAT. That still don't mean you can be the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Muhammad Ali got beat by Larry Holmes. Does that mean Larry Holmes was ever as good as Muhammad Ali? No.
But KD made those moves so he could be the GOAT because he couldn't win a title. He wanted people to talk about him as the GOAT.
I think he made those moves knowing that moving to Golden State ended any talks of him being a GOAT. It may have meant he's the best player in the world at the time, but never the GOAT because he had to go to Steph. You know what I'm saying? He gave that up. And I don't think anybody even expected him to even think he was in that conversation.
I don't know about that, Shelton, because, you know, you listen to the media pundits and a lot of them. Look, let's be honest. There's a lot of things that KD does better than LeBron James. And there's the more important things that LeBron does better than KD, which is why, in my opinion, LeBron can do more with less. But if we're looking at skill set, KD got more skills than Bron.
I came on the show
with the ball.
I said KD underachieved in his NBA career.
100%. And to me, remember, I remember as clear as day, one of the first times that we were really critical of KD was when he was in OKC against Memphis. Mm-hmm. Remember that series? And he went down and missed 2 free throws.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like your KD, like the expectation level, even if it's not LeBron James, fine. F it, right? It's not his expectation isn't what LeBron's expectation is. But he is considered top 2, top 3 best players in the NBA. But we are not chastising this guy for the squad that he has, but almost every other, or specifically noted LeBron James, we cruise up. Oh, why he needs AD? Well, shit, why the hell you need Kyrie and James Harden? And I understand Blake Griffin isn't the same guy, but shit.
That is actually a good point. They
need that to beat LeBron. Huh?
Come on.
Why does LeBron need AD? But yeah, Kyrie, James Harden, fucking Blake Griffin. And it's not, why does KD need all of that?
Like I said, and then too, you got to look at it. This man was already getting it for going to join Golden State. And I'm, going to join this squad is no different than what he left. He left Golden State, who had all them same things. You know, we could argue the Golden State teams were more strong than this Nets team.
100%.
Power to star power. He didn't go up in talent. He went lateral, if anything else.
But he chose that, though. Right? Like he chose that. And all I'm saying is he chose those situations, and he's not – obviously, the Golden State thing, he did get flack at the beginning, right? He did. Mm-hmm. But once they won all them games and they won a championship, he didn't get the same flack. Everybody was marveling mm-hmm. at the situation. Think about – did we really marvel or did we really enjoy that Miami Heat run? Everybody was going against them all four of those years.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to be happy for LeBron and the Heat.
It was fun time for me. I enjoyed all four.
I remember Ken definitely was happy about that. Especially when they went on that historic game-winning streak.
Mm-hmm. And see, that, like I said, but that just speaks to LeBron's greatness at this point. Because he's mentioned in the level of a Jordan. And like I said, he's on that Mount Rushmore. KD is not there. KD is known as, like I said, a great player, but he's going to always need a supporting cast. Also, he wouldn't get it with Brooklyn because he's coming off that torn ACL. It's like nobody expected him to do what he's doing. So now he's getting props on this team because he's able to hold on and do what he's doing after coming back from this injury. So nobody's really looking at him like joining an elite force. They're looking at him like, wow, you came back from all this
injury. Well, that's... Shelton, I give you that is part of the narrative, right? Like, people were questioning what version of KD are we going to mm-hmm. get because that's a major injury. And I remember I was saying that ain't nothing going to change. That man got old man game. He don't need to be as explosive to be able to get to the rim because he's long, he's lanky, and he can shoot. He got ball mm-hmm. handling. So even though he may be a slightly diminished version of him, he's still going to put up 30. Like, it's just too easy. He has every counter that you would want. But at the end of the day, I'm just saying it's like we're not fair or equal across the board when it comes to these superstar players. All I'm saying is that LeBron continues to get met with consistent hate. And something you said, Shelton, is that you need a supporting cast. Name me one NBA team or a superstar that did not have a supporting cast that won a championship.
Yeah, always need it.
It's always needed. If you're going to win a championship, bro, you got a squad. Don't give a damn how good your star player is. That squad, mm-hmm. even if they're not great individually, right? Like the Philadelphia 76ers, the Allen Iverson version, they weren't great. Who the fuck was Aaron Lynch, bruh? Eric Snow. But collectively, defensively. George Lynch. Yeah. I'm sorry. Aaron McKee. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, who are these guys individually? But collectively, defensively, they were a juggernaut, and then nobody could stop AI. Right. You know, so you still got to have a squad. But my thing, where I get frustrated is like, yo, how long are we going to pacify KD? How long are we just going to give him the pass? How long are we not going to hold him to the same expectations of other greats? I don't want to hear all this that he's not like LeBron. Well, then stop saying he's better than LeBron or stop saying he's on the same level as LeBron because
if
you're that great. The expectation is to have several championships. Now, he got them now. But why are we not scrutinizing him for the way he got him?
I think I think they did, though, didn't they?
When the first year in Golden State, and that's it.
And it only lasted for a few months.
I'm not making excuses. I agree with you, FIFO, to be honest with you. But I'm just trying to say why the masses probably feel the way they do.
I got you.
I'm arguing. So I'm thinking going to a Golden State team, it's kind of hard to root against Steph anyway. So I think where he went kind of helped him as well at the time. So going there, I think everybody was rooting for Steph. You know what I'm saying? Most people, I don't know too many people that hate Steph. So in saying that, it was easier for him to do it. Plus, LeBron did it first. LeBron going to the Heat and leaving his hometown Cleveland Cavs team and also being compared to Jordan at the time, all that stuff compiled together kind of went against LeBron and made him more hated the way he made the decision. All that stuff, if you recall, all that stuff was fuel to the fire. So LeBron's haters got greater because of the way he did his. And he did it first. Joined the super team first. He did it, you know, in the new era anyway. And so that's kind of why he caught a lot of flack. But at the same time, like I said, now it's kind of like, now I don't think he gets flack now just because he's LeBron. But that's pretty much it. But yeah, KD does deserve, you know, a little bit more backlash than he gets, but he does get a pass, like I said, because of the injuries and all the stuff he's been through. So it's never going to be the same.
Mm. Well, that was my rant. I feel a certain type of way about that, obviously.
Yeah. I think that first year he went to Golden State. I know I think I've been up and down on it.
And I'm not even saying that he deserves as much backlash as LeBron. I'm just saying he deserves more backlash in general. Yeah. Like, come on, bro. Look at these squads, man. Like,
I get that.
This is and again, I think this squad is even more stupid than that Golden State squad.
I do too.
I get that. I just think, like Sheldon said, we don't look at them at the same, so you don't complain about the same.
We don't look at them as the same now.
Well, I'm saying, right. I would say back then when LeBron did it, I don't think we ever saw a super team be put together with everyone in their prime who was like a big player on that team. So as far as like the whole trade, free agency, whatever you want to call it. And then for him to win his first title that way, it was just like, To me, that's going to be a whole 30 for 30 documentary broken down to explain why that hatred was there. But I think because he went through the wall first, he made everything easier for everybody else behind him.
Hmm. I want to circle back to the Myers Leonard thing. The Heat, man, they banned him indefinitely.
Oh, indefinitely? I thought it was just for a few games.
No, I'm reading on Yahoo Sports. It says the Miami team announced on Tuesday that Myers Leonard is banned from the team indefinitely after video service of the backup center uttering an anti-Semitic slur on a Twitch stream. And he was playing Call of Duty.
And that's what gets you. Said. Them Call of Duties, boy, they be racist as hell in Call of Duty.
What do you think?
I think he was upset about getting killed when he didn't expect it. So he just started cussing.
Yeah, he was talking like he was talking to his friends.
And then he issued an apology, but I think that was based off the Miami Heat organization saying you need to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That shit. Yeah, they on that. You can't make fun of certain communities these days. They're going to be on your ass.
Yeah, I'm trying to read of course, the Heat issued a statement and says Leonard said that he issued an apology, of course. And he said that he claimed he didn't know what the slur meant when he said it. And the NBA is looking into it. I think he
knew what he was doing, man.
Man, them excuses that white men give, bro, they be so piss poor.
Mm-hmm. Y'all think he's coming back for you think this is temporary?
He ain't that important.
I think it's temporary, but let me see.
Are you looking at stats?
He said, while I didn't know what the word meant at the time, my ignorance about its history and how offensive it is to the Jewish community is absolutely not an excuse, and I was just wrong. I am now more aware of its meaning, and I'm committed to properly seeking out people who can help educate me about this type of hate and how we can fight it. Who was that guy that went on an apology tour?
Oh, who was that?
I mean, he went everywhere, man. He met with everybody. Deshaun
Jackson?
Yes. Yep. Yes, Deshaun Jackson. Y'all think Myers is going to go on that Deshaun Jackson tour?
He's going to have to if he want to get back.
Smart.
I don't think his name is big enough for people to really care like that.
Who the hell is the Deshaun Jackson in 2020?
I'm just saying Deshaun Jackson's the name is still, his name is still bigger than Myers Leonard.
Nick, let me say what you were trying to say, what you meant to say. Deshaun Jackson is black, Myers Leonard is white. Therefore, he don't have to go on the tour the same way that Deshaun Jackson did.
That too. But I still think Deshaun Jackson just a better, as far as he's better at his sport than Leonard is at his sport.
I heard black and not better. But yeah, I'm gonna watch this. I think it's gonna be interesting. I think you know, Shelton, I think you were going to go the route of how important he is to the team in regards to whether he's going to come back, right? Is that what you're going
to
say?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to see.
He I don't think he shit on that team.
Yeah, from looking at the stats, it looked like he ain't played for three games. I don't know if you heard or what, but he's only averaging 3 points a game in three games.
Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon also did one, too. Yep. Nick Cannon went on a tour, too.
He did.
Yep. Nick Cannon, Deshaun Jackson went on a tour.
You see, they canceled Nick Cannon's TV show.
Yeah, his show got canceled. So
I tell you what, McDermott is glad that he said it, the coach at Creighton, because he was catching about that plantation remark that he made.
So what happened? What's that story? And then I guess we'll get ready to get out of here unless you got something else, Nick.
He was
telling, that was it.
He got suspended a couple days ago for telling his team they need to just stay on the plantation. Like, y'all need to stay on the plantation. Don't go out the plantation. It's basically what he was saying to his guys in the locker room, and it got out. And he was suspended indefinitely, but he was reinstated not long after. His team stuck up for him. He even offered to resign, but his team stuck up for him. So he's sticking around.
Yeah, I saw the headline. I didn't click to read the article because I had a feeling it was much ado about nothing. It was just poor phrasing.
You know,
you just can't say some of that, but I know that was also kind of probably he got caught up in coach speak. And I think in that situation, again, I'm going by what you're saying. I feel like if the team spoke up for him and they understood the context of what he was saying and that he wasn't trying to do anything intentionally racist, even though you could be unintentionally racist as well, then I think that, you know, I think it's okay that they actually brought him back, especially if he doesn't have a history of doing certain things or being problematic. You know what I mean? And they're saying in the chat room that Nick Cannon actually got his damn show back.
Yeah. I thought he got it back, but I know he had to do a lot of, like, he had to go on that little podcast he got. I know he did something with some dude in the Jewish community where they had a conversation. But yeah, he definitely had to do a lot.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You really have to be careful what you say and what you do in 2021. I tell you, because, you know, I don't know if it's the pandemic, but everything is magnified at this point. And so anything that you said in your lifetime could come back to bite you today. And it's just, you know,
we ain't got much to talk about these days. So anything that somebody says is going to get amplified.
Yeah, it is. We got another super chat real quick. Chill Vibes 24. Appreciate you as always, Chill Vibes. Any thoughts on LeBron and Space Jam 2? And did you guys enjoy the first one?
I'm a treat that just like how I treated Coming to America. First one's a classic. The second one probably going to be Cheeks.
Mm-hmm. I didn't care for that. I didn't care for Space Jam. But by the time that came out, I was a little older. I didn't care about it. Plus, I didn't care about no Michael Jordan either.
How was you older than me?
No, I said I was older. I didn't care about it.
I still like it.
Yeah, I still cared about it because I grew up in Chicago and the Jordan 11s came. Like, there was a lot of shit
that didn't do
around nothing. That. Yeah, he's from Detroit, so he didn't give a fuck about MJ like that.
That didn't do nothing.
But
yeah,
being like,
that didn't do nothing.
Being like MJ or cartoons.
he just told y'all why he didn't like it.
Yeah, he did.
I'm interested in Space Jam 2 only because of the special effects. Because the shit that MJ did was good for the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That shit's kind of corny. So I'm interested to see how they remake it with all the new technology and shit.
It's
watch
really
it be in 3D.
That shouldn't be remade, but
yeah, it's gonna be in 3D too.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, but you said it's gonna be in 3D.
Based off what FIFO's saying, like I think they would have to, just to make the special effects like seem more modern and up to date.
That'd be so cool. That'd be cool.
Whose
and I know
idea
he and I,
was this?
It was his.
It was LeBron's idea.
No, I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying probably.
Because I think he's the only one to push the button.
His production company like did the movie.
Yeah.
So he's getting paid like LeBron's twice. Smart, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me ask y'all a question, man. at the midpoint, who's your MVP so far?
Joel.
Joel Embiid.
I say he's MVP right now.
Yeah, Joel Embiid.
I agree at this point too. And rookie of the year, we already know who that is. Who's your defensive player of the year?
Anthony Simmons. Davis is
Achilles. Yeah, Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, I think defensive player of the year.
That's what I was gonna say too. Ben Simmons has been special. Yep. And most improved player.
Well, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle. I saw Kyle.
What do you say?
Girl, let me see. I got my hat on in the house.
Oh shit!
Kyle, I always have my hat on.
Hat on in the house. What up, Kyle?
I like the new logo, bro.
Yeah, that new logo dope, man.
Yep. Defensive player of the year. COVID.
Yeah.
F who said COVID.
Yeah, COVID taking him out.
For me, outside of MVP, all the rest of them.
All this shit.
It's outside of MVP, the rest of them I gotta wait till the second half of the season. But right
who's
now,
been the most improved in the first half, though, to y'all?
Most improved?
Christian Wood.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I just saw
him last year, though, didn't he? But
I would say Julius Randle.
Not like this.
Okay, Christian Wood. Yeah, somebody just said it. Yeah. Oh, boy, I can't see it that far.
Nick, you know what? You might be on something with that.
It would have to be Julius Randle to me.
I would say Christian Wood, too, but Christian Wood has missed some games from injury. So, I guess Julius Randle probably is it.
I'm a second Nick with Julius Randle only because the Knicks are technically in the playoffs right now.
What do you mean technically? We're the fifth seed. We one game behind. We half a game East, behind. Bro.
If you're in the East and your name is not Boston, Milwaukee, or Brooklyn, it's technically.
All right. B would kill to be in the playoffs right now as a Pistons fan.
Did Randle, was he an All-Star?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Randle was awesome. Julius Randle.
Technically, he was there.
Yeah, that's dope.
I don't think he played. Did he play?
He did play. He played. Curry splashed three in his eye, but he played.
Yeah, shout out to JR.
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think
yeah, that's Jeremy Grant has been balling. Yeah,
for the Pistons. Yeah.
Like I want to watch some of the games. I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on?
Jordan Clarkson as well.
For what?
Yeah,
most improved.
Again, Jordan Clarkson been doing this though. Well.
He's balling. Like he's not just baby balling. Like he's big boy balling.
No, I was just asking for what. I ain't know y'all still on most improved.
Yeah.
And of course, rookie of the year.
I got LaMelo.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
even close.
Yeah, LaMelo.
I won't go that far.
There's nothing to talk about, Nick.
There is something. Anthony Edwards has been balling now,
but not like LaMelo.
There's nothing to talk about.
Hey, man, we got to go, man.
We'll talk about the rookies on Thursday. We'll talk about the rookies on Thursday. Nick, that's how we need to leave the show.
They'll be back playing.
Nick ain't gonna be here. I don't think you're gonna be here Thursday.
I may be able to. Just so I can support IQ.
Yeah, LaMelo's rookie of the year.
You leading in every statistical category.
Yep. How could points, you not rebounds, assists, and steals. Hasn't been done since the 60s. And I don't even know what rookie did it.
MJ has said he's exceeded everybody's expectations.
He played with so much poise. I'm impressed by how poised he's playing. The point guard position in the NBA as a rookie? What is he, 19, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and then he didn't 19. Even start half the season.
Gotta go, man. Yeah. He
didn't start half the season.
Overrated.
No chance.
Overrated.
He's underrated.
OVA rated.
He's underrated. I think he's right at – he deserves what he get right
they
now.
They're hyping him up. They're hyping him up. Hey, man.
He's good.
Anyway, we thank you guys for showing up, man. We'll talk about this on Thursday because I'm coming with the heat. I'm telling y'all, I'm coming with the heat. Y'all be ready. I ain't say he was bad.
Yeah.
you know.
Hey, man, if y'all hadn't had a chance to like the video, please, and please invite somebody on. We're going to have a friends and family day soon, man, where we have everybody bring a guest or something. We need to have a raffle or something. But that way we can get these numbers up, man. Appreciate y'all.
You have somebody said cut the mic again. Y'all funny. All right, man. We'll catch you guys Thursday, man. We out. Peace.
Peace.
This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at Blue Nile. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or on the hunt for the perfect ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.